Hello, my name is Junie, and welcome to the Theta Game Podcast. I'm not a financial advisor, and nothing I say is financial advice. I'm just a normal retail trader, just like you. I'm not certified or a graduate of finance, just a trader that started on Wall Street Bets years ago. I've lost a lot of money and made all of it back and more after finding a system that worked for me. You can view all my trades for free at thetagang.com/Junie, no signup required, and email me any questions that I'll answer on the podcast at junie@thetagang.com. Lastly, I stream on Twitch every weekday at least an hour at 9 a.m. Pacific time. Come hang out, ask me questions, vent, or just chill. It's a positive environment, and everyone is welcome at twitch.tv/realthetagang. I've been using the TastyTrade trading platform since I started my ThetaGang journey 5 years ago, and it feels surreal that I've partnered with TastyTrade so I can focus on bringing you guys and girls the content. If you'd like to sign up and use TastyTrade for your trading journey, you can use my link in the show description or use the ThetaGang referral code, that's one word, all caps, when signing up. I use TastyTrade every Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific time, where I chat and trade with viewers live every morning. Go again to twitch.tv/realthetagang if you're interested, join the chatter and morning hangout. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. How is everybody doing? It is August 30th, 2024. There's a chance that you're actually not listening to this on the Monday that this normally releases. And that's because on Monday, the stock market's closed. It's closed for Labor Day. Hope everyone is or has had a long, relaxing weekend. If you didn't, thank you for working. You keep the world going, and we appreciate it. This week has been crazy. So NVIDIA reported, they reported pretty well, revenues up, profits are up, and meeting, beating expectations. However, the stock fell, and it's because their guidance was a little wide. When companies typically report, they want to meet the expectations of the current quarter, which they typically do. I have a tinfoil hat theory that accountants actually try to snub their numbers a little bit just to make the number accurate enough where those expectations get met or beat. But this time around, the guidance was the most important part, and that usually comes in the form of text in the written report that gets released right at earnings release, and the Q&A and the vocal part of the earnings call, where the CEO or whoever is presenting the earnings data sort of forecasts how they will do in the future. NVIDIA has a lot of expectation built up on it, and it's looks like it's going to be doing very well. It's grown its revenue double year over year, which is crazy. But the stock still sold off, and that's because they predict in the future that the growth that they will have is either this number or this number. And both of those numbers are very wide, which gives investors and traders this feeling that NVIDIA is a little uncertain about its future. Of course, they didn't guide down. They didn't cut any expectations or anything. They didn't say, hey, we're going to make less money. They just give us a really large range. And of course, that's going to spook investors, but probably less than if they guided down or explicitly said that they're going to make less money or something. So that's a little bit of what happened with NVIDIA. NVIDIA, since earnings, since the sort of a scary day where it traded down, including AMD being another semiconductor company, got dragged down with NVIDIA. NVIDIA is now back to almost normal levels. It's trading back almost close to 120 again. NVIDIA, prior to earnings, was trading at around 125, dipped down to say like 115. That's like about like a $10 move down. But since then has sort of gone up. It's now chilling at 119, so about halfway up from the initial drop down. And things are looking clear for just the next piece of news being the September rate cut. I personally could not imagine a world where we do not cut rates. A 0.50 cut would be insane, but I think a lot of people are expecting 0.25. And of course, everyone is expecting this. You are not a, say, Michael Burry thinking that, you know, this 0.25 rate cut is unexpected. So you can imagine this risk reward of this event happening is priced in. You're already too late. That sort of guess should have been made sort of closer to Jackson Hole. So now it becomes a situation of like, okay, what happens if they don't cut rates, or what happens if they do cut rates and it's 0.50? And we start thinking about that. And of course, the market's going to be as volatile as it has been going up to that announcement. FOMC, I'm sure, is going to be a very big day as well. And then soon after that, we have the election. So we have two huge events coming up where volatility is going to get crazy, crazier than it has. Like, honestly, we have corrected from what I believe to be one of the scarier parts of this year. That started, let me see, when did that scary drop happen? So that scary drop was July 31st, lasted all the way to like August 7th, and it was like a very scary week where the market went down almost 6%. Talking about SPY going down almost 6%, which doesn't sound big if you're coming from Wall Street Bets. It is huge if you are an investor. A 6% return on someone's portfolio that they saved up all of their life savings in is a whole lot of money. So 6% down in about a week, July 31st to August 7th. But since then, August 7th till today, it has gone up 8.6%, and we're almost at all-time high again for SPY. I mean, we're just a few cents off. It's crazy. We did, however, make all-time high on the Dow. The Dow Jones Industrial Average made all-time high today, which is insane. Because, again, I was pretty spooked of what happened July 31st to August 7th. I got a lot more timid in my trading. Had I stayed aggressive, or, you know, stayed the course, as I would say, like stayed invested in, you know, traded through it, I'd be doing pretty well. But I'd say that that's the reality for most people as well. It's scary, man, going down like nearly 6% and then trading normally, like, you know, the downtrend won't continue. But it's a skill that I'm trying to work on as well. Speaking of averages and percentages and year to dates and all that good stuff, I want to report on where I am and how I'm doing. I am currently 18.8% up for this year. I traded with an initial starting amount of around $300K for this year, and I'm currently profitable by $56,402.13. So that sits me pretty at 18.8% year to date. I'm beating QQQ, which is at 18.3% year to date, but I'm losing now to SPY, which is now trading at 19.26%. And again, a lot of that is due to how fearful I was during that 1 week of very scary movement down. And that's insane that looking back at that, I'm like looking at it now and this Google graph, I'm dragging the mouse, I get to see how long that drop lasted for. Dude, it was only 7 days. That's insane. And since then, since the 7 days, for the next like 29 days, the next month, we've only gone up. Insane. So we'll see how I make my adjustments going forward. You know, maybe the run continues. I think where I'm standing right now, in terms of like where my mental is on how I want to trade, I think I want to be risk on until proven otherwise. I think the momentum is up, especially since we went down so fast and out of nowhere last time. I think because momentum is on the upside, I think until we have a bearish day, that I have no real reason to be too scared. Of course, we'll see what happens on Tuesday open and the week of. But that's how I'm feeling. It's like I have no real reason to call the top. There's no reason why the top shouldn't just continue. So I'm going to go with trend is my friend here. Of course, we've had a pretty scary movement just this week with NVIDIA, but I think maybe with time over the weekend, traders will feel more confident hopping back in next week. In other parts of the news that might be interesting to some of you include, I have two things here. So Carisdale Capital is a hedge fund that sort of creates reports and you know, shorts companies, invests in companies. They recently did a short report on Lumen, which is a telecommunication company. They provide internet to companies. They provide like cables and connections and stuff. And they wrote this 22-page PDF. I'll include it in the show documents if you want to, or the show description if you want to look at it yourself. They essentially say that Lumen is not going to bounce back. And Lumen has had a very big rebound. Let me see. Lumen stock. Lumen, L-U-M-N, is the stock ticker. And in the last, let's say, you know, the last like month, it's gone up like 274% and has now cooled down to like 200%. So it's at these elevated levels, and the short report came out, basically dropped it down to say like, dropped it down about 12% so far. The report says that its biggest jump up, this most recent jump up, the one that caused it to go up nearly 300%, they said a lot of buzzwords. They mentioned a lot of AI, and the report essentially in the 22-page document outlines that, you know, AI is not going to save this business. This is only one of the short reports. Again, if you want to look more into the short report, you can look at the show description. I don't necessarily have too much of an opinion on it right now beyond that I traded it earlier this week. I bought puts along with Mememe, which gave me this stock recommendation or this play recommendation. And it was really cool, man. Like, it was a really nice trade that just happened to fall in the chat. So if you want to check out the Twitch.tv chat, twitch.tv/realthetagang, we're all there. We're all just kind of chilling, vibing, and sharing trade ideas with each other. And it's a good time. This was only one of the short reports that came out this week. It seems like shorts really came in full force this week. There was another report on a company that I think most people would know because of its historic run this year, and that's SMCI. So SMCI had a short report by Heidenberg Research, and this is, I believe, a even longer document, and they have this really nice bullet point list of reasons why they are short at the top, and they go into each bullet point like paragraphs at a time for each one all the way down, and they just have all this evidence of SMCI allegedly. Okay, I'm using the word allegedly. I'm not assuming anything. This is of course a report that they are self-dealing, meaning like they're opening shell companies, shipping and purchasing from these shell companies that they stood up, counting it as demand for their products, and then having the products shipped back to them. Meaning like, you know, imagine if you open a business and then you start another business and that other business is buying from your business that you're owning right now, and it makes your business look really good. So there's a little bit of allegations regarding that for SMCI. Another big one is sanctions evasion. So you're not supposed to sell these super powerful chips to Russia or China for, like, you know, geopolitical reasons. Like, you probably don't want to be giving these top these potential enemies, you know, these powerful people the best tech. It's just in the best interest of the nation to probably not do that. And it's alleged or it's SMCI that's allegedly going past these sanctions, going past these bans on these exports, and giving it to them anyway. Again, down below, I'll have the short report from Heidenberg for SMCI and Carisdale for Lumen Technology. I just thought it was really interesting that this is, of all weeks, the week to sort of call out this AI bubble, where like Lumen, again, AI is not going to fix the Lumen business. That's by Carisdale, that's what they think. And SMCI, another AI company, is allegedly self-dealing and evading sanctions or evading these bans of exports to these you know, other countries that are in our best interest not to sell to. And it just so happened to be coming out also the same week of NVIDIA earnings. So there was so much uncertainty, so many reasons stocks could have gone up or down this week. And I think we saw a little bit of that just throughout the week by the, you know, Dow is up at all-time high, but that really didn't happen just until like basically today at the very last like hour. But these last 5 days have just really been sideways. It was a little bit scary on Wednesday, again, because NVIDIA went down and they're just such a huge company. But up until just today and like an hour and a half before the bell, it really looked like the week was going to end flat, but it actually ended up on a very good note. So what does this mean now? Like, where do we go from here? How do we sort of trade this ambiguity of, you know, I know things might get volatile. You know, maybe I want to consider going in VIX, you know, volatility, going long on volatility, or maybe, you know, I think this AI hype is going to die down. Maybe this was just a relief bounce for NVIDIA, you know, all that stuff. Or maybe you think, hey, this bullish run can continue. I mean, Dow just made all-time high. The chance of making another all-time high is pretty good when something hits all-time high. There's so many different theories you can lean on. No one knows the answer. If someone knew the answer, they would be infinitely rich because you would just bet all in over and over again because you know it all. And you'd be rich. But no one is infinitely rich. I mean, maybe Warren Buffett is pretty close. But let's be real. It's hard to know exactly where the market's going. And that's where your mentality comes in. You don't know where the market's going. And that's something that you have to accept. It's like you're going to get your next play possibly wrong. Right? Like you're going to open a call thinking there's going to be another all-time high because you think all-time high is possible. Or you might buy a put, again, because of the AI hype and the short reports calling out AI. That could be wrong too. The thing is, you have to be very, very conscious about how you're thinking about the overall market because you want to go with the trend. I think that's something that we all want to abide by, is like we don't want to be contrarian too often because we just know that overall the stock market does tend to go up. There are waves down that are really scary. I mean, like look at me, I got scared during that week of like July 31st to like August 7th. I think a lot of people did, but we have to make the choice. We have to understand how we're thinking about the market and then decide based on that. If you have no idea where the market's going to go, it's going to feel a little bit more whiplashy. But you can make an educated guess. So instead of just buying calls and puts everywhere or selling covered calls and cash secure puts everywhere, just try to have a thesis. Like you think, hey, I think the market will keep going up until I'm proven otherwise. That might be a good one. Or you think that the market will trade flat here. We made all-time high. I think the market will trade flat. So then maybe you start putting on covered calls, betting that, hey, there's a chance that the market will go up, but I really think the market would just trade flat. I think covered calls will do better here. Or, you know, again, you are calling out the AI bubble. I don't know for what reason, but you call it out and you decide to buy puts. But if you don't have any idea what you're doing, just don't do anything. I think that is probably the best case scenario for most people, is I think people try to over trade. And they feel like they need to make this like insane rock star play every day. And the truth is you don't. But what makes making those decisions easier is if you have like an overlying thesis of where the market is going to go. So if you don't have one already, maybe after this episode is over, you can just decide like, hey, I want to be bullish until proven guilty. I want to be bearish until proven guilty. I want to be neutral until proven guilty. And then make your decisions based on that. If you're bullish, maybe you're dollar cost averaging to shares. Maybe you are, buying long calls. Maybe you're writing cash secure puts. If you're more on a neutral basis, maybe you're, again, practicing with cash secure puts and especially putting covered calls on your shares that you do own that are naked. Because if you think the market's going to trade flat, you might as well get paid for it, where just holding onto shares would not benefit nearly as much. And then maybe if you're bearish, again, you're buying puts until proven guilty. And what proven guilty means is you're getting your trades wrong. And that means maybe a few trades in succession and not just like your first trade. Because quite often you could be correct in the direction and your first trade could just be wrong for whatever circumstance. It could be the specific company that you're wrong on, or it could just mean that, you know, you picked the wrong strike or whatever, but the overall market's still going up and that long call could still possibly win. Just because your first play doesn't work doesn't mean your thesis is wrong. So with that, and maybe the last point, because I know I'm just slamming you guys with a whole bunch of points here. I think something helpful could be if you have a general thesis or a general direction where of where you think the market's going to go, your first few plays, maybe instead of doing that one bigger play, you split those up into three smaller plays that still bet on the same direction. And when you notice that, hey, I'm getting wrong on these three in a row. Yeah, I was wrong. I'm open to being wrong, but I'm going to flip sides now. And you start doing it that way. I think that's a little bit more methodical than trying to guess correctly in one large bet right away. And that kind of goes into the Best Loser Win series that I did on the podcast, where if you were to do three trades in succession and say your first one went correctly, and you start winning, you can just make your second play still. You don't have to wait for yourself to lose to put on that second play to see if you would get it wrong. You can just add to your winner. So that's something to keep in mind as you are picking and choosing between your risk reward of being cash and keeping your money invested. We want to avoid being in cash, especially if you're not getting paid interest on it. It's just not a good habit to be in. Of course, like, you can zoom out of the SPY graph all the way, and you could think of, like, of all the time that you've kept cash, this SPY has gone up this much. And it feels kind of bad just to look at, because you know you've had X amount of cash just sitting there when it could have even just been gaining interest in a checking account. Even checking account these days have interest rates. So, you know, something to think about. This market is no joke. I haven't been this uncertain in quite some time, and that seems to make a lot of sense because there's just a lot of volatile events happening. There's lots of short reports, NVIDIA earnings, because NVIDIA, again, it's not just NVIDIA earnings. This is a company that has gained so much market cap, so many investors piling in money, that a company of this size, like, going down a lot influences a lot of the rest of the market. We have interest rates of topic right now. We have inflation. We have, like, the fearful consumer being talked about, of course, because of Dollar General. Maybe I didn't talk about that earlier. But, yeah, Dollar General not doing so hot because consumer is looking weak. And then we're also, you know, this whole presidential election stuff. Like, there's a lot of things to sort of make the market feel very whippy. So it's just going to be up to you to figure out who you want to learn from and what sort of habits you want to pick up. Because at a certain point, you trading for fun is great, but as soon as you want to take that first step and want to take it seriously, maybe you want to start trading with a larger amount, you need to really be choosy with what sorts of advice you listen to. And so I hope I can provide and be a platform for, like, one perspective of how you can sort of visualize, or, you know, in your head at least, how to make decisions. And, you know, I'm not perfect either. Right now I'm losing to SPY by, like, a third of a percent or a half a percent, which, again, hasn't happened this year at any time. I've been beating SPY this entire time, and it's finally happened this time. And it might be a good sign that I was too defensive in the last, like, 3 weeks. So I was slow. I was going to say quick. I was slow to change my mind, and I should have been a little bit more bullish. I should have maybe put in money into SPY if I wasn't going to do anything else. That could have been a play with just, like, some sort of max loss. There are so many ways to look at it. Still beating QQQ, still beating the Dow, right? I'm just double checking. Still beating the Dow year to date. Yeah, I'm crushing the Dow. I think everyone's crushing the Dow. Dow's only at 10.2%. But yeah, it's just being mindful, checking in with yourself, seeing if you are even thinking about where the market's going, because you could get lost in all the Reddit posts, all the links being shared, your friend group getting really bullish or really bearish on something. It's hard to just check in, ask yourself, where do I think the market's going to go? Am I willing to be wrong? How far do I want to go in this direction? And, like, what types of strategies I wanted to do, or, like, what type of companies do I want to invest in right now? It's hard to think about that stuff. But if you want a community or a trading buddy, similar, you know, to this sort of vibe I give off on the podcast, you can just go to twitch.tv/realthetagang. There are people from the podcast chatting in chat. There are just people from the website and all parts of the Theta Game platform that I provide that are live there, just chilling, vibing. We're learning about different styles of trading. We're looking at Reddit together, and it's a slower pace, right? Like, I'm not frantically day trading or making sick plays or anything. I'm just kind of doing my own trade. I'm showing all of my trades. You get to see my profit loss. You get to see everything. And it's just a good time. I think if you need a chance to slow down and reflect in your own trading journey, I think the Twitch chat is amazing. I think if you want to take the next level up and for example, if you want to support me and join a community that, you know, I sort of have on Discord, you can go to patreon.com/thetagang. That one's not free, but you can, of course, keep enjoying the free content that I provide on Twitch, on the website, and this podcast. But if you wanted to, again, level up and get the next step closer to having a, you know, channel dedicated to all of our trades being posted and pinging real time of like real trades that other people are doing, you get to see if they win, if they lose, you know, what their thoughts are. It's really, really cool. I don't think there's any other Discord like it, because it's the culture that we've built up. It's a very transparent culture, meaning you know, every trade that we put on the website is shown with a loss or a win. And it just feels better. It feels better talking about trades in the context of actually being able to see the results. I think in a lot of other communities, people just kind of hype up stocks and shill stocks and their positions and might say that they're super sick and have all these gains, but they're really just hiding behind like a wall of losses that you cannot see because they don't post them. But in the Discord that I run, every single trade is shown and all the losses are right there for you to see, and all the winners too. So as transparent as we are, I think we have a healthy amount of people that also win quite often. So I don't want to sound too shilly on that aspect, but I feel like we have a very good culture of transparency, which I want to lean on more. So if you're looking for other people to trade with, the Patreon is an amazing way to help support me, help support the podcast, stream, and website, but also join a community where there's other transparent traders just like you. From what just started out as just an idea, then learning how to trade options, then building a logging platform, then partnering with TasyTrade is so surreal to me. If you'd like to trade on TasyTrade, you can see the show description from my referral link or use ThetaGain referral code, one word, all caps, when signing up to help me and support the website, podcast, and stream. This podcast, the website, and stream are all made possible because of my patrons at patreon.com/ThetaGain. Signing up helps keep the services up and alive, as well as pay my own personal bills. I do the podcast, website, and stream full-time as my primary source of income. I feel grateful to be able to do this full-time and focus on providing the best service possible for free. The podcast, website, and stream are all free, and it'll stay that way. Signing up for Patreon gives you a few perks, though, so check it out again at patreon.com/ThetaGang if you're interested in helping support. All right, I want to give a shout out to my patrons here. That's Fancy Wolf, Los Pepes, Mods, Upstream Puddle, Ensis88, Jimmy Gill, Espresso Bean, ZK, MSZ, Joe Quirt, EDC, Travella, Desserts, Bacha the Thug, Nala, J Perkins86, Strategy28, Bins, TWall3252, LPL, Alexander Kerm, Slow Motion, Rusty Urs, T Catsy, The Jester, Grandpa95, Gruffalo, Young Rich, Chicken Dinner, Kaput, Coop, Sumatrix, KJ Martin, Statistically Random, Turbo Ricky, Maestro XC, Banadushi, Theta Collector, Tyler LM97, Lord Skeletor, Major, Tecomi Elmo, Avrillion, RS Schmitty, YTeen, Danu9000, McFly, Husk P, Mr. Integrity, Rooster, Big Dillo, Lloydo, Bearded Savage, Danghai, Clutch, Suede Slides, Asha Kabat, AJ Tarheel, Bustin Justin, Andy V, Arfman, Memet, MX7, Vegeta Plank, Can't Make Money, RRL, and Maltman 1856. Man, this was honestly a pretty good week. I think I mentioned my wasps last episode. I might have not, but I have wasps. I had wasps on my patio, and the wasp guy came while I was streaming. So he came on. He didn't. I'm pretty sure he didn't know he was on stream, but like he was on stream. He walked to the back patio, and he got rid of the wasps. Apparently, wasps, come out and sort of build their nests during times where there's lots of bugs outside. So it's like during summer when it's hot and there's tons of bugs, and they eat bugs, and that's how they eat. And there's a pretty big wasp nest that I can see, like basically near the roof of my apartment building, but also closer to the tree. And so I could just imagine that tree has hella wasps in it. But I think some of those wasps ventured a little bit further out and then finally found my patio roof. And my patio is super small. And it was so lucky of me to have seen the wasps, because I remember walking out to my patio because I water my bonsai, and I'm like looking down in my fish tank that I left out to dry. And I'm like, wait, what is this acorn doing here? And I look closer, and it's not an acorn. It's straight up a wasp nest. And I actually learned from the wasp guy that came, that wasp nest was actually above and on top of my light fixture on the ceiling, and it was tucked in, and it fell into my fish tank. So they didn't build it in my fish tank. They built it above and it had fell. And that makes a lot of sense, because the wasps were like collecting in the light fixture. And I was thinking, like, why aren't they in the wasp nest like below? And so that makes a lot of sense. So he got rid of it. Super grateful. Dude, that guy has like one of the scariest jobs on earth. I offered him a Diet Coke before he left, and he didn't want it. And I was my feelings were kind of hurt, but it's okay. I'll live. Let's see. Yeah, falling behind Spy kind of feels bad. But I've been here before where, I feel like I could have traded a little bit more aggressive. But previously, I was still beating the market, which let me be a little bit more content, right? I was beating the market, and I was doing fine. I didn't really want to make more. But now seeing it happen to – having this feeling happen to me a second time this year, this feeling, but the first time where I fall behind SPY, it's telling me that I'm not able to shake off the feeling of – being, I think, either content or fearful. It's like a mix between the two. It's like I'm kind of scared, but I'm also kind of happy with my trades. I'm like actively not turning on the bullish side in me. And that really does come from, I think, my COVID trading era, a little bit of the 2022 era where the year just went down and down and down. And I tried to hone in on just I'm trying to make as much money as I can when it's bullish. It's just hard for me to flip sides after we've just gone down a good bunch. So starting to learn more that about me. It's just taking some getting used to. I do feel comfortable with the stocks I'm trading. Maybe I should have actually said this in the meat of the episode, but right now, I'm trading Nike, CrowdStrike, Costco, and I still got my Rumble puts. In my 5K portfolio, I'm also trading Costco, but I'm also trading Sentinel One, which is another cybersecurity company, and also Robinhood. So we'll see what next week brings. I'm starving right now. It is 2:34 p.m. And I got a lot of work to do after I eat. So I'm actually going to cut this part short. I hope everyone has had an amazing August. It's already September by the time you listen to this. And can you believe that? Dude, we're almost done. I'm almost at my one-year anniversary of taking Theta Gang full-time. That is crazy. I find that shocking that it's already almost been 1 year. Super grateful to be doing it for as long as I've been able to. You know, there's always that looming feeling in the back of my head that's like, dang, you know, a paycheck does sound really nice. It sounds really good, but there's not going to be another time in my life where I'm going to be able to do this. And that's a fact, because I'm about to get married soon and eventually going to have kids. And there's no way I'd be able to take this risk later. So I'm taking it now, giving it my best shot. I'll see everyone next Monday, whenever the next episode is released. Bye-bye.